Good Thursday morning. I'm Anna Palmer, and welcome to your Politico Playbook audio briefing, sponsored by BP. We've got a first in Playbook. A group of Senate Republican-focused outside groups raised nearly $13.9 million during the first quarter of 2018. The Senate Leadership Fund raised $9.6 million, and One Nation brought in more than $3.7 million. American Crossroads brought in $350,000, and Crossroads GPS raised $50,000. That's up from $7.4 million in the fourth quarter of 2017 and $7.1 million in the third quarter of 2017. Current cash on hand for the groups is $34.4 million. Stephen Law, who heads SLF and One Nation, said the groups have gotten $12.1 million in, quote, hard pledges for the second quarter of this year. Law also had some takeaways on the state of play for Republicans. He told us that donors are just sharpening their focus on the importance of holding a Senate majority as a firewall. The two big issues mobilizing donors right now, he said, include the massive Democratic fundraising advantage in some of the most competitive races and a potential Supreme Court vacancy. And we've got another scoop. The Congressional Leadership Fund is dumping another $100,000 into Arizona's 8th Congressional District to boost Debbie Lesko's candidacy to fill former Representative Trent Frank's seat. The spend is a, quote, final hyper-targeted digital and phone effort. Remember, Trump won this district by more than 20 points. The Washington Post is up with a story about Republicans concerned about the political risk in the Senate if the House moves to extend tax cuts. The worry? It could allow red state Democrats to vote for tax cuts, undercutting Republicans' major talking point this cycle that Democrats voted against a big tax cut in December. This is another example of the House and Senate being on two completely different pages. The House is going to try to undo a spending agreement they just passed, which is something Mitch McConnell said he has no interest in doing. On the administration front, Eliana Johnson and Burgess Everett report that Nikki Haley has successfully done what none of her colleagues before have done with President Trump, telegraphed that she will not suffer his public humiliations. And Lewis Nelson and Eliana also report that the White House is using Mike Pompeo's meeting with North Korea to boost his image as he faces a tough confirmation battle. Bloomberg is reporting that the U.S.-North Korea talks could happen in Sweden or Switzerland, and our colleagues Ben White and Megan Casella have an interesting look on the new normal and how the world has started to ignore Trump's policy tweets and other quickly shifting statements. On the investigations front, Trump confidants are starting to get nervous about whether Michael Cohen's loyalty to Trump will hold up over pressure by the DOJ. The New York Times is reporting that Karen McDougal is now free from her contract with America Media Inc. and can now discuss her alleged affair with President Trump, while the Arizona Republic is reporting that state lawmakers are pushing a bill that would delay a vote to replace Senator John McCain if McCain has to leave office early. In the juice, we've got Jason Kander visiting South Carolina on Wednesday, where he met with lawmakers and Democratic Party leaders, attended a South Carolina Black Caucus reception, and appeared on Columbia's Urban Scene radio show. The Palmetto State is the 39th state Kander has visited since November 2016. And here's what's on tap for President Trump today. The president is leaving Mar-a-Lago this morning en route to the Joint Interagency Task Force South in Key West, where he will be briefed. He will then return to Mar-a-Lago. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.